But before we start, we will actually just connect the two bits. Dan from Bridgewater will tell us a bit in short about what they do with Nix at their company. As you probably know, they're also a gold sponsor. And then he will continue to talk about a thing called Nix Code Build.
Hello, can people, okay, I can hear myself, so I think you can hear me. Okay, so I have not prepared anything about Bridgewater, but I will give you a very brief overview about it so that maybe you know why we sponsored this place. So that's my name. I don't have anything, any slides about this. Bridgewater is, there's a few different ways of putting it. I think the way we like to describe ourselves is a company trying to understand how world economic markets work. It is technically a hedge fund, if you want to put it in those terms. But we basically invest money for large pension funds, sovereign wealth funds, institutional investors in general, and do so based on our understanding of world economic markets. And so you can think of it as an expert system trying to learn about how things relate to each other. Where Nix starts to come in is we very heavily value our intellectual property. There are clever trading algorithms and things like that that you don't want people to steal. You don't want your own employees to steal. You're very paranoid about this stuff because it's worth a lot of money. We see Nix as a potentially, almost a game changer in how we can deal with security. There's obviously things like the GR security thing, which is great, but we're seeing security in terms of reproducibility, determinism, auditability of these things, which haven't historically been focuses in Nix. You get some of those things for free, some of them not for free. Things like the reproducible valuations are partly inspired by our desire for this, and so I see Nix as an excellent foundation to build these things upon. And of course, there's it's a huge productivity gain for me, and so we see it as having great potential there. I don't want to lie about it. We definitely aren't using it in a very widespread manner yet. It's pretty much just me, and I've deployed a couple of services to dev production in the sense that a large chunk of our developers use them without knowing that they're on NixOS. But if NixOS were to go down, that would cause a lot of productivity issues and things like that. We are not currently deploying any kind of economic analysis stuff on NixOS, but I think the key aspect of it is that I have a lot of buy-in from the company, as in people are see Nix, they don't use it yet, but they're excited by it. And so within the company, I have a lot of leeway to start spreading it more widely, to get other colleagues involved in it, and to do work on Nix packages and things like that where it serves our needs. And so things like that, the EC2 instance metadata, configuration for metadata, which nobody has heard of because I did not document it. But when you boot up an instance on AWS, you can configure it from metadata. And that was partially inspired by our needs at work. So that's pretty much Bridgewater's relationship to Nix. I hope that we will expand our usage of it and keep supporting the community in far better ways than a logo down there. So that's it. I don't know, is this a question and answers type thing? I don't think they're... okay, it's a pitch. Okay, it's fine. I think that's the pitch. Great. Thank you. And then... and then what I actually came up here for. Initially, Aaron inspired me, so I tweeted about it. This control tab, or in my case, command shift, lets me move through my slides. And so I'm going to talk about, Nix code build. I generally characterize it as the most obscene abuse of Nix you'll see in a while. And I hope you will agree with me after seeing this. Who here has looked at all at all the Darwin work that's been happening recently? Has anyone? A few of you have. I was one of the main people behind it, and as part of that, I'm not. That's a whole different topic of conversation. But as part of that, there are some annoying things which I had to do. Apple releases a lot of source code on its opensource.apple.com, but they don't really put much effort into making it actually compile for anyone. And if we would like a nice pure Darwin standard env, we need to compile it ourselves. And a lot of these things don't work from the Linux world. For example, procps, we don't have proc on macOS, and so procps just doesn't work, and so we need our own PS. How do we get our own PS? We go to Apple's source code releases, this thing, and you'll see a nice PS in there, and that's the Apple flavored PS. And so we need to compile that. Unfortunately, you'll see up at the top here is advcommons.xcodeproj. And we really don't want to bring in Xcode for this. Xcode is a monolithic, several gig download. It's a pain in the ass. It isn't scriptable. And it's closed source and doesn't really feel like the Nix philosophy of compiling everything and caching it and all that. And so we really don't want to be doing that. So what I do instead of in the current Nix packages tree is, this is the context here. What I do instead is this, which is really not very nice, right? I don't even bother writing a makefile. I call CC a bunch of times. Not GCC, because we don't have GCC, it's just CC. Please, everyone, stop writing GCC all over the place, because it doesn't work with Clang. Yes, this compiles PS from macOS, and gives us basically a very basic PS expression. Of course, if it's a more involved project, that's a pain in the ass to write out all these things, because sometimes they call code generators and all these other things. And so what I've wanted for a while is an Xcode, open source Xcode replacement, or Xcode build replacement. Xcode build is the command line version of Xcode, and only comes with Xcode, and furthermore is not open source. And so I can't build that from source. Have a lot of people use Xcode here? That's not a lot of people, but Xcode comes with these PBX proj files, which most people have never actually seen the contents of. It turns out macOS's heritage from Nextstep is there are macOS plist files, property list files, and they come from Nextstep way back in the day. There are several different formats for these, including this obsolete format, which Apple doesn't support anymore, except inside Xcode. And that is the format of this thing, this Xcode build project. And so if I want to build Xcode projects myself, I need to understand this format. Now, by an amazing luck, and why this is turning into a huge hack, do you notice anything strange about this file? This is an ancient Nextstep format. What I'm getting at is that it is very similar to Nix, Nix syntax. And so very similar, not quite exactly similar, but similar enough that I can run some obscene sed over it and make it into Nix. And so what I did was that. And so this is the Nix version of that. Thank you. So this is the build file for building that PS project and everything else with it. Nixtified, I put a few quotes around things and stuff like that. That might not be strictly necessary, and it might make things neater later. But let's just pretend this is the right way to do it. You'll see I stuck a globals, made it a function because they have some incorporated, they bring in state from somewhere else and things like that. But otherwise, the format is identical. It's a very large file. You'll notice Some annoying things about it is that the actual, like, once you get over the syntax of the thing, you actually still have the semantics of how to interpret it. That isn't documented anywhere, but with a little bit of tinkering, I figured out how to interpret it, and I have about a screen full of Nix code that I'll show you in a second to do that, which is, maybe it's more than a screenful. Maybe it's three screenfuls or so. This is a code that can compile PS from that thing, and it's written in Nix. And all it does is input add commands.nix, which is the translation of the other thing. And now I have a Nix object which I can treat in Nixy ways. So there's. There's a lot of things I could talk about here. I want to talk about a couple of neat little tricks. Let me just take this out of order a little bit. You'll see, if you look back at this Nix file, this is actually, there's this randomly generated identifier or semi-randomly generated identifier by Xcode. And it's actually defining a horrible, horrible graph. And so you have the keys at the top level here, and then they get referred to further down here. And I believe, Peter Simons or various other people have given us a technique for dealing with this in a very clean way. Does anyone know what I'm talking about? It's a lazily, and the way I handle this, or I handled this when I wrote it, is a lazily expanded giant map. And so that way I don't actually have to ever deal with those identifiers mostly. I basically recurse over the entire structure, and whenever I see one of those things, I say, do I already have it? In which case, replace it with its definition. And so it's a fixed point of a big dict, or outro set, sorry. So that's how that part works, and then I just need to process it. And processing it involves this cute little pattern, which I haven't seen used elsewhere. I really wanted switch statements in Nix. So I made another ATRA set and treated it as a switch statement, as in the keys are the cases and the values are the behavior that I want to happen. And then I just do cases.switch over that thing. I use that all over the place in this file because, you know, if I have a C file, I need to compile it with C, and if I have a Lex file, I need to compile it in another way. And so the rest of it is just sort of boilerplate tying it all together, but those are the essence. That's the essence of Nix code build. Any questions?
We have time for two questions.
Will the source code .c evaluate to an attribute that has source code and then .c and then .c in it? Like three levels? Or will it be one identifier?
Source code.c, and this is a construct inside the Xcode build file.
Yeah, but will it in Nix, will it evaluate?
It creates a derivation for every single C file and creates an O file for
that. But the name of the attribute, will it be source code and then there will be an attribute in it? .c, or is it the name of the attribute, is it source code.c.c?
I'm not because sure I understand. Like,
that will be the name of the attribute.
That's literally something that Apple, okay, yes, yeah, yes, yeah, sorry.
How did you test that this all worked?
I called Nix build and got PS out of it.
And it, oh, okay, wow.
So how many of these Apple packages does this work for? Did you try for other Xcode?
This was me being bored one evening. I have not, like you can see literally in the Nix code build, I hard code add commands.
Right.
So I've tried it on add commands and nothing else. If I were feeling motivated to work on more Darwin stuff, I would probably expand this and make it work for more things. But It leads, like many of these sort of Nix-based make files, it leads into sort of questions about what recursive Nix is and how that, like if I were to actually use it in derivations inside Nix packages, I would need to be able to build something using Nix inside of Nix, and that's something which is a little iffy right now. So it was more of a, let's see if I can actually do this more than useful tool. If someone else wants to take it, I can remove this secret thing on the gist thing, and or I can just publish it anyway. It's fine. I was ashamed of it for a while.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Damn, I sweat. Johann Schultz, yes. So this will be a talk about NixOS user environments. And please, Matej, prepare. You're next.
Okay, I need the same resolution basically.
Actually, while we wait for, I need to create a quick poll. I was asked actually three times to ask everybody who in the crowd is actually using NixOS. Okay, so those three who asked me, now I have an answer. And another question is, so what are you guys doing tomorrow and after tomorrow? As you know, we have sprint for 2 days. From 10 until 8 in the evening at Road Code office. It's, let's say, on the other side of the thing that sticks in the middle of Berlin. How it's called? Berlin-Tor? Fahrenzertor, that thing. So it's basically a few stations away from here with U-Bahn. So Road Code is also sponsoring there the snacks during the day. So would be nice to know how many of you will come tomorrow. Okay. Let me just have keep the hands up. No, wait. Okay. On Tuesday? Okay, very close, so I have the overlay. Okay. How we're doing? No? Can we? Okay. If somebody knows the joke, I know only one, and it's actually a German joke, but everybody will get it, and everybody knows it, I think. When the boss comes to ask you, right, what do you do? Well, most of here of us will say, Nix. Right? So on Monday or whenever you're back, use it.
Do we have somebody who has successfully connected his notebook to the projector before and can show like an HTML file?
Oh,
for example.
Maybe can you share the?
Yeah,
because he's the next one.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Connector. Okay, we'll just continue. Matej Arsini, can you can you try?
We tried this already.
So okay, this will work. Okay, can we get the mic?
HDMI out. Now sick. Oh. Reboot always works.
Okay, so we're back with a talk about from Arsini from about Nix packages and Nix build.
Wait a second. Okay, do you hear me? Yeah, nice. So hello. Okay. I'm too nervous. My name is Arsenij Siroka. Maybe mostly you know me by my nickname Jaga Jaga. You can find me at GitHub and IRC, and in Twitter my name is T00. I'm the guy who likes to merge. So I'm going to talk about two topics, they're questions exactly, and the first one is about Nix build. You know the Nix build tool. You can build exactly every project that has a default Nix which works in it. You can just type Nix build and works, and you'll get the result that Fox. And why it's cool? Because you don't need to know any other building tools like Cabal, Make, whatever. You just type nixbuild and get the result. We do already have some transformers from those configuration files to our Nix files. That's why nowadays it's easy to transfer your project to Nix. And also we have Nix Shell, which is more powerful than such things as Cabal Sandbox, which sometimes do the same thing. So that's a demo. We have a simple Haskell project where we have Nix files. For example, I'm a person who don't know how to use Cabal. I just type nixbuild, get the result, and having my artifacts. But what's the problem? If we do any changes to our project, even if we add files that our project doesn't need, nixbuild will build our project from scratch. And that's a pity, sorry for my English, and that's sad because if you have big project, we will waste our time just waiting while it will finish to compile. So in our company, we tried to solve this problem. Well, exactly, we started just a week ago, but we want to solve this problem. And what do we want to see in the result? We work with Haskell, so now we are going to solve this problem just for this language. We want to make derivation more granularly, and if we succeed in this work, we would like to make this solution for every language to forget this language specified tools just to use nixbuild. Well, we have several approaches now how to solve this problem. For example, we want to create in the result directory, nixbuild provides a result directory in your project. We would like to add a directory called artifacts and some flag to nixbuild like --devil to use your source codes and to use those artifacts. Indeed, that's not so pure solution because sometimes we can have problems with this. But a global pure solution is, we haven't been discussing this, but I think that we can think about monads because they can handle such things. Because indeed, if we produce the result, even if there are artifacts and no final result, that's some kind of state. And the next node build will get the previous state and generates new one. So that's everything I wanted to say about nixbuild. So all your suggestions about how we can make it are welcome. Next thing I want to say, probably that was discussed in conference, about Nix packages. As I said, I like to participate in Nix packages repository life, and nowadays we have more than 70,000 commits, we have more than 800 forks, lots of clones, and this year I saw in GitHub statistics we have lots of views, and the most significant part, we have lots of unique visitors. But what's the sad part? We have lots of unclosed pull requests and lots of unclosed issues. And lots of that issues are they are not related to the real life, so lots of them are solved already, but they are opened in GitHub. So the other thing I want to say that our Nix packages repository is really friendly to contributors. We already have guides how to write packages. We have contributing guide for GitHub for Git users, how we would like to see your commit names, etc. And the most significant part for a new contributor that we have lots of examples in our package repository. And beginner can, I think, can start easily to create wrappers for packages to Nixos. And I wanted to say just two things. First of all, I think that we need to follow the rules that we've created. And the other thing that I want to ask Nixos community to go through pull requests and issues and take a look at them and close those that are no longer relevant. That's all. Yeah, questions?
Yeah, there is no time. Okay.
Just one question.
One question and then we go on.
All right, so I have one remark and then a proposal. So for the Nix packages pull request, we had like an open session about that. And I'll post notes to the mailing list. But the core, you know, the main thing that we kind of figured out is when we have sprint at least once a year, we should, you know, dedicate, you know, like an hour of that for everyone to review their pull requests, and they will get assigned to 10 other pull requests.
Yeah.
So if we have like 20 people at the sprint, that's 200 pull requests that will get, you know, traction. So for those who don't come to the sprint tomorrow, if you can spend a little bit of time now that you have all the excitement about Nix and review some, you know, at least your pull requests and a few others, that's going to help, because we don't really want that to grow. And if you think that they automatically close, they don't, and we really have we really need more eyes on them. And for your, you know, question of how do you kind of reuse the temporary folder, I think by just being able to tell Nix to use the temporary folder that it, you know, produced before, that would help a lot in terms of for the Haskell. So that would be a quick solution to have a flag saying, you know, use the, you know, first you would build it with minus K, and then you would have a flag to say that it can reuse it.
Yeah, it saves the results in store.
Yeah, yeah. So
that's all. Okay. Thank you. All
right. Oh. This is the thing I'm working on. I'm Matej Sotman. I'll just start as I prepared. For those who don't know, this is my little project. It started as with Elasticsearch loopback and polymer monstrosity. Since then, it lost some weight. It now uses just Node WebKit and Polymer. If somebody has been watching this project, it might seem as it would be dead. Sorry, I'm nervous. It's not yet dead. No, I have been quite busy for the past 6 months. So therefore, I was slowly working on it on an unstable branch, which is a mess right now, but I plan to do more things at the sprint. The progress. I'm rewriting the code to be more structured as part of upgrading Polymer to version 1.0, which before it wasn't very good. Okay, it is about 90% done, so this is... I'm finishing it right now, and the usability of this program, actually, this is a Nix UI, if I didn't say that already. the Nix front end, actually. At least I wish to be. Okay, it can be useful for Nix's graphical ISO image for users to quickly discover the packages, configuration options, and stuff like that, and to install something real fast. Actually, it can be useful also for development tool, as you can see the changes in the NixOS modules. This one, configuration options, I'll show them after I finish here. Actually, there comes only the one point here, plans for the sprint. I will finish the rewrite. If somebody wants to join me, just poke me. Next line would be to merge unstable branch to master and make a release. So other way around. Okay, the first thing here, I mean, this one was experimental. I don't see it as really to be in the release. Okay, let's see this one, my default profile. This is it. These are all the packages. Well, not all, because this would be much larger. Actually, this is just truncated. The search works like that. You have all the... Well, let's see. Ah, this one. It's all the Nix can give me for this. It's got all the data that probably you need, even for development. So you can poke if someone, the maintainers, if someone is, if this program is not, if it has a debug or something. Then we can go back. Configuration options. Actually, this UI just read-only for now. It doesn't give any, it cannot install it, although I have the functions already in the code, but I have to just bind them inside somewhere and make a smart button. This is the configuration. With Nicolas, he told me one trick, so I reused some old code and used his trick, and it works. About the values. This can read the values from the configuration.nix. And we can show them. Those two are set, actually. It says their example default value and stuff like that. You can see all the like that and that. Then this is almost over. The planet, let's see this one. It works like that, and nothing special. But let's see some. Okay, this one has some code in it, like that. It might be useful for because first time I used the. I didn't actually know for the NixOS planet. It was Garbas told me someday, but it's not. It was not, I don't know how to say, known to, well known. I'm just thought back and maybe I can do that too. Inside, that's actually it.
Thank you. We have time for one question, and Johan, please prepare meanwhile.
He will need to use your laptop. Just a web page.
Oh, just make me.
Hello?
No.
I was just sniffing a little bit into the code base and was surprised to see quite a lot of Perl code, in fact. And I wonder if there is any idea of translating that maybe into Python, just as an idea. Well, Perl is kind of more dead than some other stuff, and
okay, I'll just answer it, because you're talking about Nix?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. The answer is there is a ticket already open. It's going to be rewritten into C++, and it's just a matter of time. So all code of Nix is going to be
C++.
One day. There is even a bounty, €100 is already there for this.
$100,
yes. So one day it will happen.
I think there is time for money or both.
Just while we wait, those of you who haven't know, we have a planet, which is a collection of blog posts, which you can send us your RSS from your blog. It's on planet.nixos.org. To actually get to it, I would actually have to show how to send. You have to open a pull request or just ping somebody on IRC, and they will add your RSS feed, and everybody will be notified about your blog post. Yes, we are ready? Okay, so... your
Jochen
name,
Schulz. How? Jochen Schulz.
Jochen Schulz. Okay, your name disappeared.
Yeah,
on my hand.
No problem.
We'll talk about NixOS user environment.
Okay, sorry for the problems. I was the only laptop here in this conference, which doesn't work. Okay, so basically, so I'm Jochen Schulz. I'm a scientific staff on the Institute for Numerical and Applied Mathematics of the University of Göttingen. I'm also the administrator for the institute, and we are doing several stuff using at the moment a Debian-based system here with a little quick about this. There's a compute server, so we are calculating stuff. There are some of over 100 client computers which are configured through Puppet at the moment. So and we have login servers and several file systems there and some virtual machines. And so this is basically the setup. At the moment it runs with Debian. And I started using NixOS roughly 1 year ago, already using it at home totally. And the idea was, okay, let's switch the whole institute to NixOS. Okay, this is the task. And okay, one thing which is important here is it was the lower thing is many client computers can and will be disconnected because they are laptops. We configure laptops. We can when we put them out of the network. We can put it into the network and so on. So. So first of all, a little bit about what the management at the moment is. As I said, we use Puppet, but we want to get rid of this with NixOS, okay? So at the moment, Puppet does something like host groups. So there's the host group, which is a laptop, which has a specific configuration. There's the VM, which has a specific another configuration, and so on. Okay, we want to use NixOS. It's much cleaner. It has rolling releases. So one of the things is in a setup like we have, okay, every 2 years we upgrade the system, or something like this. So, but with NixOS, because of the rollback possibilities, we could use, yeah, more or less every time I want. Okay, and also one of the main things from the scientific viewpoint is it's easier to use reproducible numeric calculations. So we can really have some Nix shell. We can say, okay, this is what are the dependencies, this is how to run, and we can run it later in the same way. Okay, because of this kind of laptop stuff, we can't use NixOps really, because NixOps is central and deploys it on a computer which is there and prepared. We can't do this. Okay. So this was the main problem there, and then the general idea we come up with was to, okay, let's make a channel where all the configuration for all the hosts is in. So it's mainly a Linux package fork, of course, and and the main idea is to have additional modules which play the role of host groups. So there are laptops, they have a specific set of modules with a specific set of options,
Yeah, okay, so this is a basic idea. Hydra will build all the packages and all the specific packages and all the channels. This is what we already have, really, but we are only in the beginning. And then in the end, we want to use Xmas Rebuild priority on the clients to get update the channel and get all the configuration we changed on the server somehow, so in the channel. So the basic idea there in this setup is that we have some central module. It's called non-default NIX, which serves as an entry point for all the modules. There we have one switch, so to say, which is a variable here, num.hostID, which the idea is the client has some host ID, which is defined in the NIX, in its NIX OS configuration file, and then I can switch in my channel which configuration it gets. And so we call it here profile, so I have some set of modules which is like, okay, this is a laptop with whatever settings, this is a profile, and he gets it because his name of the computer is, or his host ID is whatever, client 52, something like this. So this is basically this mapping from host ID to a list of modules which I will apply to the computer. One problem there is that we want to have, because there are laptops that can go around with us in the world, so but beyond, because we have our own channel, the computer has to be accessed to this channel, but of course we have configuration in it which has passwords, there are credentials in it, there are private keys, whatever. So we come up with some, okay, we have some, we need to encrypt them. So we thought about it, simply use GTB encryption, and when I've set up the computer, I will create this key pair and then can have a private key on the computer, and the public key is uploaded to the server, which then can decrypt the credentials with the channel update. Okay, basically. Okay, so this is the installation, which is also said to do. We don't have done it yet. So we need to have some provisioning for the client, which, as I said before, can't work with NixOps because there's some laptop, it's somewhere. And I have to switch it on, I have to do something. At the moment, we are doing it with PC boot. So we want to do this with NixOS also, but so we have to do a simple bootstrap of NixOS. For example, when NixOS install, then have this GTP key, basic configuration where I put the host ID in it, so then all the computer is set up, then you can the hardware configuration is, of course, created with NixOS install in the beginning, and then I must a channel update, and he gets all the information from the server, how he has to be configured. Okay. So this is the idea. The user side here is because now, okay, we have all users which then have these NixOS configured laptops. So they have to work with this, basically. So one of the nice things, of course, is they need some development environments because, yeah, they're also coding stuff, numerical calculations. So one of the things, of course, is Nix shells. We also come up with some idea of user profiles, have some defined set of a profile, and then they can easily switch between different environments. This is, of course, standard NixOS stuff. One of the things which a little bit more interesting here is, not every user should have the ability to write its own Nix expressions. Like, we can't expect that from everyone. They are not that basic users, but we can't expect to write Nix expression from them. So one of the idea was to have somehow an interface, a script, which writes in the Nix expressions. Okay, so therefore, okay, I have a package I want to add to the Python environment, to the GHTV environment, then I want to call something like Nix and this package to exe or whatever. And this writes the derivation and puts it into the config, and then it gets to the, and then the user can use it. Okay, here's a question in the how to upgrade. The user profile is not usually upgraded. He has to do it just, the user has to do it. Okay. So, but there's questions here. We at the moment don't know how to do it really. There are another questions. That's one of the main things here in the talk is we are in the beginning and we want to know if this is, does the setup make any sense? And perhaps some discussion about this. Okay, no time, I think. we're more or less finished in the last slide anyway. So one of the questions also was, do I put the configuration? We have lots of configuration. Do I put them on the global configuration, etc., or part of the packages that have different cons and pros. User convenience, I also talked about in the slide before, is a little bit interesting thing about. We don't know how to handle this. Yeah, dashboard stuff we have at the moment, Puppet and Format, which gives us kind of interesting dashboard for managing all those our clients, which we have not with NixOS at the moment, but okay. So and we have to do all the work, really. So we have to do all the packages and create these NixOS packages to reflect our system at the moment. So this is Randy. Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Yes. Okay, we have time for one, two question, if there's any, or.
So our users, it wasn't clear, but are people, is part of this already implemented? So are there actual users who have NixOS on their machines?
No, we have at the moment a Debian system which uses the Nix package manager. So we have somehow the, yeah.
Just curious about the experience of people who aren't familiar with Nix, but now they have this thing on their machine that they didn't decide to put there.
We're using Nix package management at the moment. We have Debian systems with, with Nix. Okay.
So do you plan to like migrate to NixOS? And as a part of this question, are there sources somewhere?
What?
Is there source code of your things?
Yeah, there is already a little bit source code, but yeah, of course we think of planning this to release at least parts of the stuff, of course. And anyway, in the end it's open. The one of the things with the secrets world, in the end it's open anyway. Okay, you can get it from anywhere.
Migration to NixOS? Are you okay with Debian?
No, we will migrate to NixOS, but of this is not planned how to do it. At some point, at least, I think we simply reinstall the computers. Yeah. So, there's... Huh? Yeah, we can use this, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
So next presentation is going to be from Nicholas about Nix Daemon.
And now? Okay. So as you can see with the title of this presentation, I like trolling. So this was a presentation that I made a few months ago. And I won't make all the presentation, but I will go through the big parts of it. And okay, that's it, Cassidy. You all know about it. What I wanted to talk about is not this part, it's this one. There is one thing which gives me to the Nix package manager and NixOS and others, and this is I can summarize it at the beginning at this table. So let's do an exercise with me. We have a short period of time, so let's be quick. In one side, you have basically a package manager or what it might be. And on the other side, you have a program. So what is the file system? What is the file system for a package manager? Slash user. I mean for a program.
A namespace?
State? Memory? Okay. What is a path? A pointer? Okay. That fits with the memory. Then what is a package? A module? So, If you have a memory and a pointer, and on the file system you have a path. A path points to what? A structure? A folder on the file system. So what's a pointer points to in memory? A structure, it sounds like a nice one. So what is a package manager? if you have pointers which are pointing to structures in memory, what is managing these pointers? I got a garbage collector over there. What was a somebody mentioned? What did you say? Memory manager computer. So we've got a garbage collector and memory manager. So what is an installation? If you have a structure in memory, what is installing a structure in memory? Right. Writing, allocation. Okay, removing? Deallocation. Okay, sounds simple. And what is no such file or directory? Hmm? Use after three? Thankful? Yeah, that's about it. So, what does Nix mean in this world? Nix is a package manager which is kind of different from the others. And if we try to isolate Nix out of the properties that we have for programs, we realize that, oh, packages are immutable. We have a package manager which is, hey, a garbage collector. And installing means that you are basically rooting the package that you have. A root is basically from where the garbage collector starts to see what is installed. And removing means means that you lose a reference, that you have no longer any root which are pointing to your package. And of course, no such file or directory is a sig fault, which is one of the best analogy. So if we continue with this idea, okay, we have a package manager which is a garbage collector. What are the properties of garbage collectors? So we have two properties which are like conservative, which is like basically saying, I will be safe with memory and I will scan everything and say, oh, if there is something which looks like a pointer, I will consider it as a valid pointer. And that's a property that we have with Nix package manager, which is like, okay, if there is something which looks like a path, I will consider it as a valid path into the Nix store and consider it as still alive. And another property that we have with garbage collector is being independent of the language. So that's why this talk is about the Nix daemon and not the Nix language. With the Nix daemon works with a protocol, and basically, you, as soon as you are able to talk to this protocol, whether it's in Nix with the Nix language, or maybe in Python or in Scheme, somebody made it, then you got a new language on top of a garbage collector, and that's what we've got with the Nix daemon. And somebody mentioned this presentation a few days ago on IRC, and I think it was worth presenting it here because it might not be clear to everybody. So I hope I kind of clarified these ideas and give you another overview of Nix in a way that I also like.
Thank you. Two questions and then we move. Meanwhile, Thomas, please prepare for...
Any question?
So the one thing I didn't catch is the connection with the Nix daemon. For instance, the garbage collection is not a property of the Nix daemon, but Nix in general. You can run it without a daemon, and it works fine.
So the Nix daemon is independent of the language that you fit it
but
with.
Also independent of the store, etc. I mean, you can disable the Nix daemon and run as root, and it all works exactly the same. So those are properties of Nix, not the Nix daemon. That's just what I wanted to say.
Yeah, but the Nix daemon is as all this property of is a garbage collector and not being tied to a language.
Store.
Yes. Details.
Any other, or we go forward? Okay. Thank you.
To see the same thing on the screen?
The same, maybe try to move it.
one?
Maybe.
Move your cursor to the right.
Oh, okay. So how do I move this? So how do I get this screen to the other side? Okay. Try something else. I have no idea how to look at it.
How to move it? It's on the right side.
Ah, oh, you can see it. Ah, super. But I don't see it here anymore.
Yeah, it's turned and go
Okay, so Thomas will be talking about cross-compiling, cross-compilation. Yes.
Well, I'm Tomáš Hlavatý, and I discovered Nixos about half a year ago when I was looking for a way to automate as much as possible at work. And I wrote for pretty much everything we develop. I wrote Nix expressions, Nix packages, so we can now build everything very easily and configure Hydra, so that we have everything that we change, we have reasonably immediately feedback about what we broke or what still works. And this helps us a lot because we need to test against many different configurations. For example, different version of Postgres with Oracle, with different versions of LibreOffice, for example. And it's very easy to achieve with Nix and Hydra. Once you write all the expressions. That's the hard bit. At the moment, I would like to follow I think Rob had the plan how to achieve success with Nix. So find a good company. So I think I succeeded in that. and now I'm trying to Nixify everything. So what remains now is to find out how to deploy stuff. So it's a bit tricky for us because I don't have a control over the machines where it runs. So some customers, somebody has Ubuntu machines, somebody has SUSE, somebody has Windows. Some machines can be even offline, so we don't have any access there. So there's the existing solutions that didn't seem to fit any of the range we need. So that's something I need to think about still. I think even containers don't work. For example, on Ubuntu. Yes, that's the solution, or maybe something even simpler. There were some discussions about rewriting the module system, simplifying. One of the big remaining issues I have is I have everything which runs on Linux automated now. So I make a change and I see what works and what doesn't. But I don't have this on Windows. And I would really love to have this ability on Windows too. And actually, the big thing with Windows is that I have to babysit the machines. I have release machines, test machines, and they always keep asking for activations for some reason, I don't know. I need to always go to the machine and do something and telephone to Microsoft and thing. So, and I think there is a way to do it completely on a Linux with Wine and maybe cross-compiling using Mingwei. That already kind of works. So here is a simple expression where I can define that I will be cross-compiling with Mingwei for 32-bit Windows applications or 64-bit. So I can simply write one line and have a Nix packages which will be compiled for the particular target. And it works very well. For example, hello, I can... Oops. For example, I can build a Windows executable and I can see that it's a 32-bit Windows executable. I can do the same thing for 62-bit, 64-bit. And I can see that I have 64-bit Windows executable. And I can even, well, I haven't tried a 64-bit, but so it works. It wrote hello world. So all the infrastructure is already there in Nix packages. Now, the problem is that this was a really trivial example. So once I start doing something more complicated, which we would need for automating all these things to Hydra, many things break. And ideally, if somebody loves Nix and loves Windows and would be interested in fixing lots of stuff, make it work on Mingwei, then please let me know.
Thank you. Yeah, we have time. Question or two. Okay.
It might be, there won't be any bounty for $100, but it might be a little paid project.
So my question is, what does make building Nix on Windows natively difficult? Is it the toolchain, or is it Nix depend, the source code depends on specific implementations, specific libraries?
I don't know. I think the Nix packages don't simply need to be adapted to understand that the compilation under Mingwei needs something else than compilation under Linux. For example, there are assertions, if I install some package and tries to compile libiconf, and there's assertion which says that it shouldn't be on Linux, but the target is not Linux, so the assertion shouldn't fail. So I think there are some things that just don't work, Plus, there are things that the Windows targets need special. Maybe, I don't know, I haven't had the time to investigate, but there's, I think there is a work there that I would like to be done, and I did, don't have at the moment time to do it myself, so.
And you didn't report the box, so did you upload the next expressions?
What do you mean?
You did not make upstream box. You did not make upstream box after I know what the problem is.
No, I haven't made it upstream box because I don't understand what the problem really is yet.
Okay, but I mean, the hello world works, so it's just a question of it's really making it more advanced until it doesn't work. So I know that there are many problems, and but I think many open source projects are not really used commonly on Windows because Windows has a different packaging system, right? So I think many things like IconV are not really natively buildable on Windows.
Yes,
usually, you know, they would build on a Cygwin probably because Cygwin has patched them and has their own system, you know. So
yeah, I think I identified some packages that I'm sure work under Mingwei. That is possible to compile them on Mingwei. I succeeded once doing that under Ubuntu, but I don't have any way of compiling that on Nix easily. I would have to really dig into it and implement it myself and find out how to do it. So I know, for example, SBCL, which would be interesting, is interesting for us here. There's a package for it in Nix packages. I know that it works under Wine and it compiles under Mingwei. But it doesn't compile if I just do this simple thing. So is that clear?
Well, I will try it out. Mm-hmm.
I guess there is a chance tomorrow morning. Okay, thank you.
I won't be here. Yeah. Thank you. For potential people who are interested, I won't be here next week. I'm on holiday. So please contact me on this email. I will read it when I come back. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay, so we reached the end of the talk, the first 2 days of the conference. Tomorrow it starts sprinting. What I would like to thank is actually the whole crew that helped. And please, Paulos, come up, because you did a big job. Peter, please. Come. The team. Jonas. Jan, please. John, Elina, come on. You know that you helped, right? And I'm calling, but I'm really low on voice. Elina, come on. We are on camera. So this is the team who helped make the first NixOS conference possible, and they executed it, and it was all lazy evaluated. No worries. And yeah, I'm just happy that, you know, this became true. And I guess see you tomorrow. And if not tomorrow, I don't know where next year, but I think we should meet next year as well, right? Okay. So let's talk on IRC where and how.
the details. But thank you. And just for this evening, there is nothing planned. I guess we can talk outside how and where to go, maybe for drinks. But yes, tomorrow we will start with sprints. 10:30, we're going to start with the initial presentation. So be there at 10, you know, the usual half an hour buffer. But yeah, guys, thank you.